end up swing. Full end up swing. Full end up swing. Full end up swing tech show.
But you thought we were going to say something here, didn't you? Well, you're wrong. Hang on, we'll be right back. We're going to play our promo.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Are we done? Nope.
This is Pete from Wisconsin, and when I'm not milking cows, I'm listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
And you know what Pat says?
Hi, this is Pat, and I like to listen to the Linux Link Tech Show every week because I want to find out if Dan is going to gas out Alan and Link, especially after drinking a six-pack of Guinness and eating a jar of pickled eggs.
Oh, that was a good one.
I like that one. That was really good. Anyway, hey, hi. This is Link and Dan and Alan. Hi, guys. And we are the Linux Link Tech Show. And this is the one, the only one-year anniversary, episode 50. No kidding. 50 episodes we've done so far. And you know the funny thing is I was checking out before we... before we got on the air or virtual air or whatever the hell you want to call it tonight, all the like the little promos and bits that we have, I bet we have an entire hour of promos and bits. So you can
so we're going to be playing the entire thing while we go out and get some beer.
You can be sure that one of these shows is going to be like an entire show of just promos and bits while we sit back and giggle and drink heavily or something like that. But anyway, hi. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Good.
My ass is full tonight.
Yeah. Already. It's funny because Pat's little bit had, you know, Dan farting on it. And right before
and
we played that.
It is the sweet smell of this tech show tonight.
Right before we played that, of course, Dan made sure the air was just right for that bit. So.
Hey, there's another one coming. Dun, da, da, da.
Yeah. So what kind of good stuff do we have for tonight? I mean, other than I have this nice little 50th. 50th anniversary bit thing that I threw together. But we can save that probably for a while because I'm sure Dan is burning. He's burning with something.
Burning is the right. Burning with the fever.
Burning with stuff to talk about
the
today.
The fire down below.
Along with Alan, who, you know, always has.
Always has something to
many
say.
Many things going on.
You know, I have some stuff, but I don't have a lot of stuff. But I just,
so you just want me to start playing a bitch?
I was so out of the loop this week due to all the crap going on at work that, you know, I'm just catching up on some of the news that's going on. I guess Firefox 1.0 pre-release today.
Yes.
GNOME.
Yeah, the pre-release. However, I did see right after it came out that they said there's a security vulnerability.
That'll be fixed by the end of the day.
So it'll be fixed by, you know, tonight, I'm sure.
And Microsoft and Sun sign a pact with the devil.
Something like that. I didn't read anything about that yet. But
Open Office and the future of free software. I don't know. It's getting scary out there with the patent.
They're patenting everything you could possibly do on a computer.
Microsoft is patenting everything now in an open attempt to try and foil anybody from writing any software for anything.
You know, not to defend Microsoft, but IBM's doing it, Apple's doing it, HP.
Sure.
Everybody's doing it. Sun's doing it. I don't know. Maybe Sko's patenting.
Suing people.
Patenting, yeah.
But it's
getting their ass handed to them in court. That's what they're patenting.
It's weird because it's not ending up being a battle of whose technology is better. It's like
it's going to be who has the most patents.
Who has the software patent?
Beat the other guy to the patent office with an idea.
Yeah.
With an idea. Not with a technology. But with an idea.
You know what's going to kill this, because you know eventually it's going to come down to a boil and the United States court system is going to get smart and going to disavow like software patents. So then all of these people are going to lose, you know, and they spend all this money and lawyers and all kinds of crap now getting this stuff done. And the reason that that's going to happen. Yeah, but the reason that that's going to happen is because there's going to come a point in time, if they keep pulling this patent crap, there's going to come a point in time where you can't write software anymore. Because the ideas for doing everything have been patented already. You know? Ideas for moving a mouse and having a visual representation on the screen have already been patented.
Moving the mouse and having your computer reboot.
Yeah. It's all going to have been patented and no one can do anything anymore. So in order to keep the software market so it's not stagnant, they'll have to release those. Or something.
I don't know.
Could be I'm just blowing smoke out of my butt, but you know.
It really stinks. It's a very alarming.
Yeah.
And it would suck to see something like OpenOffice get plowed under because of court cases, lawsuits.
Right.
Because you know you can't people can't pay that. But who do you sue? I guess you have to go after the end users. I mean, you could probably go after developers, too, but you got to think, what if they're over in other countries developing it, and they just say, you know what, U.S., F you. We're not going to pay. We're not going to comply. Go screw yourself.
Well, that's, you know, like I said, a lot of that stuff is going to have to happen. I wish that you know what I really wish is that.
You had a back rub from Alan right now?
Yeah.
Go for it, baby. Go. Alan, you do it.
He's got the magic fingers, you know? What I wish is
weren't
that we
you saying
had
he had a magic fist, too?
Yeah, right. I wish we had some legislators that were actually techies. You know what I mean? Some geek legislators who actually knew what the hell they were talking about with this stuff and didn't listen to the FUD from big corporations. You know, and just take their campaign money payoffs and vote for whatever Microsoft says. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case, and that's exactly what happens. You know, anybody with the biggest pocketbook gets their vote.
Yep.
Because we all know that politicians work so hard that they deserve to have, you know, 11 months out of the year spending in Tahiti on vacation or something like that, right? All paid for by Microsoft or whoever the hell else has a deep wallet that day.
Now, we had a question come into the tech show last week. I'm not remembering who sent it in, but one of the questions that the person had asked is, we ever think, or was it on the forum, if we ever think that Linux will overtake Microsoft on a desktop? Do you remember that question?
Yes.
I personally think eventually it's going to get enough of a share that it's really going to change Microsoft's
way of doing business.
Way of doing business.
I think it's getting that right now, because according to the statistics that I keep seeing, Linux is the number two desktop operating system in the world right now. Number two. It has finally surpassed Apple.
Right. And I think it is
with Microsoft being number one.
Microsoft.
And, yeah, well, if you were in Microsoft shoes right now and you just found out that, hey, this Linux thing that, you know, that you've been, first of all, you know it's being a thorn in their side anyway, because they're paying attention to it.
Right. With all the FUD they put out about
it. They're paying attention to it, so they know it's coming. Now that it's the number two desktop operating system, now they're really going to have to pay attention to it, because from here, all that happens for a long while is the share gets bigger. You know what I mean? Like Linux is not, I don't think Linux is going to overtake Windows anytime soon. However, from this position,
Microsoft. Because as long as they've got the manufacturers locked into Windows on a desktop, it's never going to be overtaking it.
Sure, but at this point in time, we're just taking Windows shares away, you know? We're taking numbers away from Windows. And I really don't believe that Linux is taking numbers away from the Mac folks, because Mac folks are Mac folks.
They've always been there.
You know? They've always been there. They're not going away. They're not switching to anything. They're not going anyplace. You know?
They're religious.
Yeah. So what's happening now is we're, you know, consistently grabbing people away from the Microsoft world, and that's
now,
good.
Now, this is what I see, based upon my experience and my observations where I work. I see that in the time frame between NT4 and 2000 XP, there was a big gap in there, and people were hesitant to move from NT to 2000/XP for a long while, and a lot of their developmental tools changed. That now that they have bridged, a lot of significant number of people have bridged that gap, that I'm just starting to see the after effects of a lot of this software that's available that used to go on like third-party database applications and used to run on mainframes and AS400s, that some of this stuff has been moved over into a Microsoft environment using Microsoft's SQL server and other technologies that have been made ubiquitous and easy to use with their developmental tools. Now, this is not talking security-wise, but just I see it happening now. We're seeing the after effects of it, because in that time period, there's a wide gap when there really wasn't much else that was filling in there. And the Linux and the MySQL, Oracle and everything moving over, all that big stuff kind of happened towards the end. And now I think and I predict that you're looking at a really big jump from XP to Longhorn and the developmental tools that will go along with that, and the speculation that, well, it's all going to change and what's working now might not work. And this is the big opportunity for another huge change, because companies are going to have to developers are going to have to redevelop everything that they've done already
to
the new environment. Why not? And I would
Which
suspect.
Is why, look at Longhorn's not coming out with that new file system yet.
Right.
And you know why? Because it would kill the Windows market. Because everybody's got their stuff running now, you know, and they would have to change everything over. It would just kill them. And I that's one of the things that I keep saying. They'll never, you know what I mean? It'll be a very long integration.
It's going to always be backwards compatible.
Yeah, it'll be a very long integration to get that kind of stuff going.
I had talked with a company who said they're moving their data, their application, which is a back end, this is VersaTrans stuff, runs on a Borland back end Paradox, old version of Paradox. Their new version, completely rewritten, is going to use MS SQL and Sybase on the Novell side. And I asked them, why, you know, will you be supporting MySQL? And they said, well, we looked at it, and at the time we started developing, it didn't support stuff like it was a transaction table locking and stuff like that. That version didn't support it. So, you know, it's not that they're not looking at this stuff.
What about like Postgres or something like that?
Well, Postgres is not native to my Novell yet. It's been MySQL. But I think now with IBM, with Novell, with HP, and all this other big iron backing it up, I think we're gonna start seeing 4 or 5 years down the line, a lot of this technology is gonna be ported over to Linux.
I don't know if I'm going to give it that long, because Microsoft's version of SQL is not always user, you know what I mean? It's not always a friendly product to play with.
Well, I'm not saying it's a friendly product. I'm just saying they've roped a lot of people in.
Crashes and
they've roped a lot of people and a lot of developers. I mean, you can't shake a stick anymore without seeing this stuff.
I think it's going to take some time. Microsoft SQL is still a SQL database, okay? And as long as they're not that they're completely standards compliant, but as long as they're semi-standards compliant with the SQL. That same SQL pretty much applies to any other SQL-type database like Oracle and MySQL and Postgres and that kind of stuff. So it's not, I don't think it's hugely difficult to port that kind of stuff over, just, you know, for the database end of it. The application part, the front end of the database, that's a different story.
Well, right. But, you know, we'll see
what
happens.
But then again, I've been doing that kind of stuff, and I've worked... now fairly extensively with ASP and PHP. Mm-hmm. You know, ASP and its associated, you got to do ASP and VBScript and JavaScript and blah, 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 blah. You keep slapping, and I have to slather all that stuff on there in order to get it to equal what you can do with the functionality is in PHP, which I like a lot better. It's a lot easier to work with.
Than ASP?
Than ASP. Oh, it's loads easier than ASP to work with.
Well, something we'll have to see. You know what distressed me? When I went to Wawa today, I finally had to use one of those new Mac machines, mm-hmm. the Diebold Mac machine that has the Windows NT or Windows XP core. And honestly...
Just didn't feel comfortable about putting your card in there.
I mean, when I went up to it, I'm like,
yeah, it's like, am I going to get this back? Maybe I should tie a string on it.
Well, no, you don't stick the card all the way in. It's just one of your
slide it through.
It's very big. It's huge. I mean, they used to have this little box there. It's type, you know. Now it's this huge, big thing. It's very bright, very flashy, and I looked at it, and regardless of if it was Microsoft or not. You're right. I don't trust it. It's too big. It's too flashy. I mean, if all that all I want is just, you know, give me the gray and green, the black and green mm-hmm. terminal there. Slide it in. Put my numbers in. You know, it's like 15 different language options in there. They got things moving around now on the screen.
Touch screen and the doohickeys.
It's pretty. I don't want pretty. I
want
my money.
Animation. I just want text.
I want a Mac machine. I don't want pretty.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't
my card
like
and
it.
Say, what's your PIN number, you know?
You're right, and I don't trust it because, you know, this is going out over some kind of network, and I know that Diebold does not have the greatest security record in the world.
It has any security record anymore.
Right. They mucked up. Voting machines, they mucked up the Mac machines. It's like everything Diebold gets their hands on, and they put Windows in it, and it just screws it all up.
Yeah. What Dan said.
I don't trust it now. I'm going to hide under my bed with my Mac card under the rug. It'll cut out a little place into my rug, slip it under there so nobody can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard to get my card in the machine, too. I thought I was going to break it trying to push it in there. Oh, it was a tight fit. It must have been a virginal machine.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Next time, you put a little piece of latex over top.
Yeah, I did not like that Diebold machine. Why don't you play a bit? I got something else to say, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, well, the only bit that I really have, I have two left, and I have the one-year review thing and another one that's got to play after that. We could play our music now.
But play the Firefox ad again. You have
that,
don't
you?
Why
don't we play our music? It's 20 after.
All right, play the music. It's awful early for the music.
Yeah, but we have a long bit and stuff after that, so. That's what I'm going to do, dang it. I'm going to play music from a friend of ours, John O'Bacon. I'm going to play his song, Fragile. John O'Bacon is a friend of ours.
He's got a new album coming out, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. He's a friend of ours from Lug Radio, which is going to be starting up very soon, by the way. He's in a band called Seraphidion. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. Seraphidian.com is where you want to go to check their stuff out. Just got done putting an album together. Should be coming out quite soon. Looks like some hard metal kind of stuff. Haven't been able to hear any of it yet, but I'm anxious to do so. And should be coming out. And
we should ask them for a review copy.
Yeah, it should be coming out soon. And I guess they're going to sell copies off the website, too. So that is, again, www.seraphidian.com, where you can check out the new album from our buddy John O'Bacon's band. And right now we're going to play his song, Fragile.
Sitting down right here, looking at the sky, seeing flashing lights, tricks played on my eyes. Nothing fights the fear, having dreams of old. Forward we must go, elders we once told. And I don't know why you go so far. You take me there, rip my soul apart. Inside my mind, this is meant to be. It's so fragile, nothing is so free. Sunshine warms my face, silence spreads around, warmth in this cold place. Effort turns to rest, laying so still. No one hears the calls, the shrieks out on the hill. And I don't know why you go so far. You take me there and rip my soul apart. Inside my mind, this is meant to be. It's so fragile, nothing is so free. And I don't know
why you go so far. You take me there and rip my soul apart inside.
Hey,
yeah.
And we're back. Ta-da. Or something.
Big debate.
Big debate going on IRC.
About the prevalence of viruses and worms and spyware on Linux as it gets more popular as a desktop operating system. Link your 2 cents.
My 2 cents, that's just not so. And I tell you why. Because I can remember. Now, there's still exploits.
Remember.
Yeah, there's still exploits that go on, right? But not viruses and worms. The last time I really remember seeing viruses and worms that readily affected Linux was right around Red Hat 6 and 6.2.
Was that bind? But it's not just Linux they affect, though. There's few kernel exploits, but you're also talking about, like, there was the bind one,
right?
And there's something that did affect Apache servers, but that.
Right, but you gotta check these exploits eyes. You see a lot of verbal traffic generated about these exploits in Linux and stuff like that. But what happens is, like, no one actually reads the exploit, and if you go read these exploits, 9 to 9.5 out of 10 times, it's an exploit where you have to have a shell access to do anything, right?
Okay.
Like you got to have access to the box. It's not an exploit that you can perform outside of the box on a service. You know what I mean? You have to have an account on the box to do it. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you're running a web server, right, nobody's got an account on that box. And if they do, you're stupid. You know what I mean? You don't need to have anybody having an account on a web server box or, you know, that sort of thing, or shell accounts on an FTP box or something like that. That's just, it's unnecessary. I mean, if you give people accounts to your box all over the place, then, you know, maybe they will, maybe at some point in time someone will do something like that, but... For the most part, I think it's a moot point. Yeah. I mean, like, I got a couple of people who have accounts on my web server because they have websites on there, and, you know.
Well, yeah, you'd only have an account if you have a website there.
Yeah.
You know.
Fight for your right. Now, a lot of those exploits that come out, you have to. Don't you have to actually have an account on there? Were you just saying
that?
Yeah,
I just said, where the hell were you, Dan? Jeez!
All I heard was...
Dan comes back.
I was
he's sitting a foot away, man.
Too busy looking at something else.
I have to turn the earphones up on him again.
I was trying to find some OS X viruses or Apple viruses.
That he could send out to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Well, and my comment about, you know, all the other operating systems is, yeah, there are some viruses and worms that do exist. There's some for Linux, too.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Rootkits and shit like
that. Yeah, it's possible to get affected. But when was the last time you heard of an entire Linux shop or entire Apple shop or anything like that being taken out of commission because of a...
Never. That never happens. I've never heard of one instance ever.
And is that because Dan just makes it
a school on a regular basis?
No, it's because it's, you know...
Fixing things.
Unix boxes traditionally have a harder... You know, they're built around the premise of a harder security subset than Windows is. Windows gives root access to everybody for everything. And if you can infect one little piece of a Windows box, you have control over the entire thing because, you know, you have root access over the box. And don't even start, you know, emailing me crap about, well, I set up accounts on my 98 ME 2000 and XP boxes so that everybody has their own account. You know what? That doesn't hold any water either because the vast majority of people don't. You know what I mean? The vast majority of people, even on Windows boxes that have the ability and are set up with different accounts, they still run them as the administrator. So, and if you're running as the administrator and you get an infected service or something like that or get a virus, guess what? It's got a hold of your computer. Whereas, you know, by default, most Linux users who are not using, what is it called, Linspire now? Is that the...
Linspire, yeah.
Linspire. Most Linux users who are not running Linspire do not run their boxes as root. I encounter some every now and then who are learning Linux, and I always tell them, you know, yeah, you got to give them the talk.
Never be root.
Yeah, got to give them the talk. Never, never, never do that. And you tell them why, and then they never do it again, and you're good, you know. Anyway. Ta-da!
All right. You know what? Right. I had something I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. Again.
You suck, that's why.
I was too... It was the whole Diebold experience that threw me off.
Ah.
That bothered me.
Something.
Bum, 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 bum. Why don't you play a bit?
Played a 1 year anniversary bit. Yes, no?
Sounds good.
Yeah? All right.
The 1 year anniversary
this
bit.
This is the 1 year anniversary review special.
The year in review.
The year in review. Only here on, you guessed it, the Linux Link Tech Show.
Linux Link Tech Show. Welcome to the Tech Show, a year in review.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Just an idea. Static, really. It all started maybe a year and a half ago. I had been listening to another Linux web radio show for a long while now, and I began to get the idea about doing something similar. I thought it might be fun to try and make a downloadable audio show that covered topics about Linux, open source, and technology. Something along the likes of some of the good presentations we've had at our LUG meetings. So I finally ran the idea past Dan to see if he would be interested. And he was. Dan, at that point in time, had been experimenting with running an Icecast server in his house so that he could pump his favorite band The Clash around from computer to computer while I was there working.
So Link calls me up with this idea of doing a web radio show. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here's another CFK debacle he's going to rope me into. He brought up about the streaming server I had played around with a few months beforehand. I don't even know why I did it, but hey, I got to stream The Clash. That was before we became RIAA Enlightened. Anyway, I thought, what's another LUG project? At least this sounded like fun, and with Link gung-ho behind it and me on board, it would probably go somewhere.
And thus was born the idea that we could probably do the show live. I thought that would be a great thing. And then we could stream the current show repetitively until it was time for the next one. That would give everyone a chance to hear it. So we set a date. Wednesday, September 24th, 2003. And I got down to the task of making our intro music. I found some pretty cool free techno MIDI music on the web, and I converted that over. And our singer is actually Flight, which is a text-to-speech program available for Unix. Altogether, I think it turned out pretty well.
Link really took off with the idea. He generated this opening music, and I gotta say, I was really impressed. It's one of those pieces where you sit back and say to yourself, man, how did he do that? Where did he get that music? And exactly what was that voice saying? Well, admiration was soon followed by, you know what this needs? Some fart sounds.
Of course, Dan came over and added his own personal touches. And that became the ending music. The show was born.
Hi, and welcome to the very first edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Link Fesenden, and we also have with us tonight our co-host Dan Washko and the ever-popular Alan Metzler.
Back when the Tech Show was first planned, I wasn't even a part of it. All I really knew of it was just the emails that Link and Dan were putting out on the mailing list.
Boy, Alan really saved our butts that day. He came through with a mixer and then ran out to Radio Shack for us and got us some mics that work, too.
Then I remember down in the basement I had an old Radio Shack mixing board, so I sent Link an email asking if he wanted to use it for the show, and he replied, yeah, so I stopped over at Dan's that night, and the rest is history.
First off, I'd like to once again thank Alan, the man, for bringing over the mixer and running out to Radio Shack and getting us a new mic. If it wasn't for him, this thing wouldn't be possible today. But equally important is the software we're running this on. This week was quite sweet because the official stable release of Dynabolic has been put out. It was just yesterday that it was actually made official. 1.0, that's what we're running right here right now, using Muse to stream our mics and other sound effects in.
This is the third rendition of Dynabolic that we've done so far, right, Dan?
Yes, it is, and all have worked admirably.
Of course, we did run into our share of problems along the way. Come on.
You gotta stop that.
Screwing up. The 15-minute delay. Holy mackerel.
All right, and we're back.
Technical difficulties.
Sorry about that.
We seem to be having a few technical problems. Difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
We up and running?
We should be.
Hey, everybody, they say that we're up and running again.
We should be.
Technical difficulties.
Please stand by. Screwing up. Holy mackerel.
And we've also had our share of sideline projects going on.
Sitting over here futzing with your USB.
Well, you started working on it 5 minutes before the show started.
Right.
You know he's doing something, because like the tech show, right? He's got to be making something of the show, and Dan's over there doing his freaking compile something or something every damn time.
I'm not compiling anything right now.
And we've also taken great liberties in harassing one another with the GIMP.
Gimp and stuff.
Stop, babe, trying to make it look like Alan.
Gimp and stuff.
And, of course, our level of preparedness is on par with no other.
We tend to only think about each show about 5 minutes before it starts, which works really well for us.
All in all, I guess you could say we've had a lot of fun with this show. We poked a lot of fun at each other, all the while giving you some news and our opinions about Linux, open source, and technology. I know we've learned a lot, and we hope you have too. We hope you've had a lot of fun listening to us over the last year and continue listening to us in the future. So wherever you are tonight, join us in celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Linux Link Tech Show. Cheers! And here's my best wishes for many more.
Pulling the Flink Tech Show.
Congratulations on 50 shows, guys. It's great that you've been around for a year. This is Matt from Lug Radio in the UK. We've really enjoyed listening to you over the past few months, and we're sure you can have really a load more good years ahead of you. Just a little note on our show, we'll be around back in October, we hope. We've just got a few little problems to sort out with our domain name, and we're really raring to go to get a new show online. So congratulations, guys. Really enjoyed listening to you, and looking forward to hearing more.
And we're back. And that was Tech Show, a year in review.
Or that was really good.
Like that. That was my 7.7 minutes and 30 seconds of mix job.
That was all Resound and Audacity? Or
Resound, Audacity. Yeah, Resound and Audacity, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, I did play the bits now. We have 15 minutes to talk before we sprint down the stairs out of Dan's house to go find some to go find some place where we can ingest copious amounts of dead cow. Numb.
Because that's what we've been looking for quite a while now. It's a nice steak.
Mmm.
Steak. Look at this guy, the shit-eating grin on Alan's face.
Steak.
You know, we didn't put together the chain of F commands from Alan.
No, I couldn't. I didn't have enough time to go through there and find
and a list
all
of my projects.
You let us down again, Link.
Yeah.
The F command
takes forever.
Me?
You know
the F bombs.
It's the
tough
over
thing
time again.
when you have to do anything with those files, you got to convert them into a WAV file.
Back to WAV file and go back through them.
Ooh.
See now, if I had been smart and I had thought that we would actually lasted a year, I would have gone through the files. You know, after we,
as we made them, and
made like notes about what the content
was. Well, that's why it was hard for me to find
like
stuff
that
on Dan's compiling, because you at least have all the you have the archive.
Right.
I've got to go download the archive each time I want to find something. So I was relying on you. I was like, okay, well, I think it was around June that he was doing all those downloads.
Oh, yeah, so it was tough going back through all those episodes, and there's still a lot of them that I haven't even listened to, you know what I mean? Because, let's face it, 50 episodes, right? And each episode is an hour or more. You know, in some cases, they're hour 20.
Only Dan with his iPod can do that.
Yeah, hour 20. So you're looking at, you know, somewhere in between 50 and 60 hours worth of stuff to listen to. And that's a lot of stuff to listen to. Now, if I had a nice, shiny, white iPod like Dan does, and I could just keep it on me and drag it around and do stuff, you know, he said he was going to get me one, but he didn't yet, so he's a pecker.
Yes, we're still waiting for that.
Dad's a pecker.
Thanks.
Dan?
I'm not going to call him a pecker because he said he's paying tonight, right?
Yeah.
What are you compiling now, man?
No, I'm just responding to some stuff on the chat, you know. Because Dale was nice enough to post a link to a forum entry on Mac Rumors regarding a whole bunch of security updates that occurred for Jaguar. Jaguar-based, you know, OS Jaguar. And I'm reading through a lot of them. And what it talks about, you know, if application A is running with a non-default parameter set, like you set something yourself and you do X, Y, and Z, and there's a malicious code on someone's site, it could cause an exploit, which is a little different than, you know, you turn on your machine and it's infected.
you mean like the stuff that's been happening over your school?
Right. That's just my opinion. Now, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And again, a lot of the stuff that you're looking at, that I'm looking at through here, you know, like maliciously crafted packets can cause a crash running TCP dump. You know, who's really running? Unless you have a reason, why are you running TCP dump?
Right.
Which then again, you know, it is an exploit. And it's not limited to OS X because that was... a problem with TCP dump.
Yeah, but it was fixed the next day, too.
Well, it is
fixed. You know, like Microsoft exploit comes out, they find a virus, and like, you know,
it takes
4 months,
6 months to get it.
Yeah, 4 or 5 months later, they're just getting some people to patch their damn computers, and then, you know, a year after that, the rest of them are maybe doing it, you know. I don't know.
And see, that's the thing, because you see it time and again. It's like, well, you have Microsoft and Internet Explorer exploits, and you can't separate the two of those because they go hand in hand. You can't separate Explorer from Windows. But then, you know, like on the Linux side, it's like, well, okay, we'll lump Apache, MySQL, Bind, SSH, and, you know, TCP dump, Ethereal, and everything else under the sun. You call
those,
it a Linux exploit.
Well, all of those things are programs that not everybody runs on there.
Well, it's not, but it's not just limited to Linux.
Yeah, but still, it's not. Those programs are, you know, you find in exploits in things like TCP dump and bind and stuff like that. There are a lot of people who never have run that program. You know what I mean? People who will never run that program. Now, take that and stick that next to an exploit for IE6. You know, for Internet Explorer.
90% of the people are
which
running.
Which everybody that has Windows runs. You know what I mean? So they all get immediately infected, but yet Microsoft will point out that, you had
10
potential exploit for a million Linux boxes for TCP dump, which 75 people actually run, right?
Yeah.
In the world. But, I don't know. It's a pain in the butt.
Speaking
of
iPods,
things will level
before.
Out. iPods, what?
You know, Dan's shiny iPod there. I was playing with an application last week called iPodder. Let me find it here. It's iPodder, which allows you to do audio downloads for, like, the audio blogs. I know you were listening to some earlier a couple months ago. Basically, it allows you embed it in your RSS. Honestly, every day or whenever you put another audio feed up there on it, you get an application which automatically downloads
the thing you're
iPod. If you have an iPod, it'll actually store it on your iPod for you. Obviously, that didn't work for me. But I don't have one.
It doesn't
work
for me either, yeah.
But it does put everything on the disc, and I can burn it off onto a CD to listen at work and whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty neat. If you go to iPodder.org, if you're into listening to what other people have to say, obviously, because you're listening to our show, maybe you have an interest in that.
Yeah, which, that brings up a good point. Like, there's...
which is actually something we may want to do with embedding some of this into our... the tech show page.
Yeah,
see if that would work.
Pete, one of the guys that listens to the show, runs a blog at I don't even have anything on me, and I don't know right now.
Raster Web.
Yes, Raster Web.
Yeah, he's one of the ones that's on there.
Yeah, and he does. He has an audio blog that I listen to. In fact, I sent him a note today. Sent him a note back with his. His email with his promo, told him to keep up the stuff with the audio blog. I would like to find some more people who do that, specifically like techie people, because that's kind of cool to listen to for a couple of minutes while I'm, banging on the keyboard in the morning or something like that.
Well, this came with
about... It just isn't enough good techie content,
Six download feeds on this one. It's just a Perl script, Nothing real major or anything. Well, I guess it is if you've got the iPod portion of it running, which is not running on mine, but it just goes out. The only problem I found with the script was if you don't have anything there, it wants to download every single thing they've ever done.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize at first. I started it running and I walked away. And like an hour later, I come back to my computer and it's still downloading stuff. And, suddenly I have like a gig of audio shows to listen to, which I found I just really didn't have that much time to listen to.
Yeah.
I download like every other day or so and pick up another two or three shows, listen to them at work, whatever. It's actually a pretty neat little Perl script application. Maybe something we want to be looking for and, trying to put on our blog site. for, you know, people to download the latest show.
Yeah.
You do it automatically.
Yeah, well, I have designs on that too. I like that.
You got designs on everything.
Some PHP stuff now and fix it.
Oh, God, give him a book and now he's a manager.
Shut up, man.
and the shout out, I've got my niece on Instant Messenger here. I'm convincing my relatives now to listen to the show, or at least try to.
Oh, that's why you're not swearing.
So, Instant Messenger, why can't they connect to the IRC?
Oh, just come on, it's easier. They're Windows people. Honest. They're Windows people, so AOL is easier for them.
And besides, it's my niece. MIRC is a client for Windows, right? MIRC?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, it's my niece. She's on Instant Messenger all the time. So
hi, Alan's niece.
There you go.
I'm the good-looking one.
Hi, babe, and hi, Mansoor. So, our 50th show shout-out.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout-out to all those people I know that ain't listening and haven't listened to the past 50 shows.
Most of the people in the Linux club, the lug.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of lug... Scumbags weren't at the meeting last night.
Well, hey, I had a dentist appointment last night.
Oh,
so
you
I
had a
go.
Dentist. You know, yes, there's 30 other days in the month?
Well, I'm sorry. I scheduled it, and I didn't realize it was the day.
26, if you don't include the tech show.
I didn't realize it was last night.
25 other days in a month. And what? Let's say 4 weeks.
Actually, I'm upset because I missed it, because I really wanted to see the presentation last night. But
it was really good.
Yeah, I saw some of the
slides.
PDF files, yeah, the slides on it, but
he did a fantastic job.
Well, that's
and you
awesome.
Know what? That got me thinking today. All right. Now, one thing I like about Ricardo's presentations, because you know he talks about stuff he knows, and he knows it pretty damn well. So if I have a Perl question, I'm going to go to Ricardo. If I have a scripting question, you know, I'd go to him. I'd go to Ulink. You know. There's people I can go to. But what disturbs me the most is when I got to go to people I don't really know, called tech support for applications at work. What skews me the most is when somebody comes waltzing in and says, and this happens all the time with the Apple representatives. They say, it's native. You could do it. No problem to set it up. It's so easy. Just go over here and read this document. We do it all the time. You know, imaging Apple systems. We do it all the time.
And then it don't
15
work.
15 minutes, you can do a whole lab. All right. Show me how to do it. Okay. Now you just go over and read this. Well, we read it. It doesn't work. So then we got to call somebody in. And they come waltzing in and they're like, yeah, we do this all the time. It still doesn't work. Well, why doesn't it work? Well, I'm not sure why it's not working in your environment. Well, maybe you got to update your Apple server from Jaguar to, well, you know, you told me 2 years ago it was going to work. You know, people are always saying it's going to work or it should work. And I hate it when they use definites. You know, when they come in and say, because I learned from my freshman year of college chemistry that you never speak in absolutes. Because right. You can't guarantee it.
I learned in tech support that you don't speak in absolutes,
right.
And you don't give time limits either.
Right. You know, people say,
how long is that going to take?
Oh, is my system
when it's
fixed?
Done.
That's right.
Is the system fixed now? And you don't say, yeah, it's fixed. You say, well, it looks like it's running pretty well.
Yep.
It seems to be running pretty well now. You don't say, yeah, it's fixed, because there's never a guarantee.
That's right.
And, you know, when you call tech support and they can't give you, you know, they either tell you, your network is bad, you know, or they put the blame on something else, and you can't get, explain to me how this is supposed to work. Let's look at it. This is what's happening. Now, you tell me how the damn application is working so that we can put the two and two together and say, well, if it's doing this, and this is what's supposed to happen, but this is what's occurring, then we can say, well, then it looks like that's what's going on.
Right.
But when I say, well, what's going on? How is this supposed to work? And you tell me, it's not supposed to work that way, you know, or it's supposed to, you know, produce this result, but not give me any background information on what's actually going on here, what to expect, you know. And when they yell at me and say, you know, when I say to them, it's running slow, this is how it is, and they're telling me, nah, it's not supposed to be like that, your network's bad, nah, it's not supposed to be like that, you got a problem with your servers, nah, it's supposed to be like that. You know, there's something funky on your end. I send them the damn data, and they're like, well, I guess you're going to have to live with it, because the same thing's happening over here.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's that all about, Link?
poor tech support.
And that ski, I don't like that. That's not worth it. Come on.
Yeah. What Dan said.
No, I spent the whole day today.
You know, Dan, we have to get like video in here too. You're like so animated over there.
It's just disturbing. You know what? What everybody's saying.
Pretty soon we're just going to get you like wireless, so you can like jump up on the chair.
We ghost all the time. We ghost there and there across our network, all around the world. No problem. All right, so we ghost. Our entire network goes down. It gets flooded. Well, why is it flooding? Well, we have people come in, look at our network, scratch their head. I don't know.
But if you pay me more money, I'll try to figure it out.
We pay them money.
No, they always have the same answer. If you would just upgrade your whatever the hell it is, you know, upgrade this to something, upgrade that to something. So, you know, if it's something that they can upgrade to one of their products, well, that's what they want you to upgrade, you know. Stop using your Novell server and upgrade to our new whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, that's another. Well, maybe you should switch to a Windows environment.
There
maybe
you go.
All your problems go away. Yeah, all my problems went away in a Windows environment. That's why I had to work for 20 hours on one day last week fixing a Windows environment problem. That got me today. A guy came in today and he was helping us out. He was a nice guy, you know. He helped, you know, and he's an Apple guy, but he's also an MCSE. And he was talking about how if we ditch the Novell environment and go over to, you know, everything over to Windows, everything would be so much better. You know, everything would run so much better.
Did you hit
him? Everything would, you know, integrate a lot more, you know, seamlessly. That it's nice because then you set up Active Directory and it'll bring down all your patches for you and you don't have to worry about anything. And it's like bullshit. I don't think so. We try.
And then I smacked him right in the mouth. Yeah.
I mean, we got the patches coming down, and we have antivirus coming down like six times a day now, and we still get nailed. You know.
That's pretty bad, man.
It is, isn't it? I just don't get it.
That shouldn't be happening.
Shameful. But that's why, you know, I don't have those problems with the Novell servers and with the OS X boxes and with the Linux. Now, sure, sometimes, you know, it's a little difficult to get stuff working. But it's not like it devastates the entire environment.
Right. And once you have it working, it just works.
It works. Sometimes it works too well. And when it doesn't work, you know, it works good enough to a point where you don't notice something's wrong, but something is wrong, but it still works.
Yeah.
Like my name server for 3 years. Worked fine, but every now and then I couldn't resolve a certain domain. Why? Because I'm using a version of Bind that's 4 years old. No, it wasn't 4 years old. About three.
Yeah.
I installed it.
But if it had been a Windows one, it wouldn't be working, though.
Huh?
I said if it had been Windows, though, it wouldn't be working that old.
If it had been Windows, it would have never worked to begin with.
Well, see, that's true. If it was Windows, I wouldn't have been able to go from, like, version 7 to 8 to 9 to 10 and still be able to run. I'd have to do a complete wipeout and install a wipeout. I just went out, and this was my fault. I should have paid more attention. Everything was running fine, so I thought Bind was being updated. And even though it was at the version when that big security thing came out and I compiled it myself, that's why it wasn't. Because I installed it and compiled it myself, and that was stupid. But it worked fine for all this time. Except
nothing
for certain domains.
Hey, we're done. This show's over, man.
You know, I got a couple questions.
All right,
for
give
you guys.
Give me questions.
I pushed the idea out about maybe doing a trivia contest.
Yes.
But let me ask you guys a question. I don't know if you ever answered that. Do you remember what we called Burning Seal? Or
no.
Or was it Running? I think it was Running Ostrich.
I don't have a clue what
you're
talking
remember
about.
Burning Seal, what we referred to Burning Seal or
remember.
Running Ostrich?
And I didn't listen to the show to cheat either. I really don't know. I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
Don't have a clue.
It was, God, it was just another day like today. What made today a great day? What came out today?
The anniversary.
Yeah, besides that.
Firefox.
That's right. We were talking about the time when Phoenix was changed to, was it Firefox?
Uh-huh.
They changed the name of Firefox.
Okay.
Was it Firebird? It was Phoenix Firebird, then the Firefox.
Firefox, right.
And I said, well, what are you going to be next, Burning Seal or a Running Ostrich or something? Yeah, see, a little bit of trivia. What is another? What's a question you remember, Alan? What's something that you remember? Do you remember what episode Alan actually got a microphone?
Episode 3.
Was it episode 3?
Yeah. I thought it was 2.
I don't think it was 2. I think it was 3.
No, because I sat here for 2 weeks just helping, you know, making sure everything was running for you guys while you were talking.
Do you know what month had the most absences?
November last year.
Yes, it was. You were out twice.
Yep.
And Alan was out once, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The comic book show.
The Conan edition.
I don't think the Conan show happened in November.
Yes,
did it?
It did.
It did?
Yes,
I thought
it did.
I listened to every single November show.
The Conan edition happened in November last year.
What episode was that?
It might have been like the second weekend or something like that.
Oh, I'll have to go back to the November. I must have listened to every November episode except that one.
Yep, I remember that one.
The Conan episode. And then there was the first episode, we had that hard crash. Remember that?
Right in the middle of the show.
There was nobody on. How are our downloads looking? Do you have any updated statistics for that? Man. Alan, come on. Think of something trivia-wise. The past year, what have you learned?
That it's really hard to get up the next morning for me.
Hey, he learned how to you know, hold a conversation virtually on the radio, because like the first like 20 shows he would just nod at us. You know?
Yeah, he'd be like talking over here.
Well, one of the things I still have to get is I'm going to get one of those like accordion things, you know, for the microphones on it, because like everybody else has their microphone off to the side of their computer, so that it's very close to your face. I have to look around to the side here, so I got to get the microphone pointing toward you guys, so I'm actually talking into it.
Oh, we just need to get you a floor stand here with a boom.
Oh, we could do that too, yeah.
On it, and then you're good to go, or something.
You know what else is interesting?
No, I don't. But you're going to tell me.
It's raining out.
Yeah, again, I noticed that.
You know, it's like
Tech Show Day is the day of thunderstorms and rain and bad weather.
It is raining out. Because I walked out, I went to work this morning, it wasn't that bad, and in the afternoon it wasn't, it was actually hot, and then I come out at the end of the day, and it's like pouring, you know, starting to pour down. I'm like, yep. Yeah, it's got to be a tech show.
It's Wednesday night. It's
got to be tech show night.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. This is it. This is our 1 year anniversary. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us.
Yeah, thanks.
Ramble along for this long, and boy, we hope that not only you keep listening, but that you get all your
friends and acquaintances
to listen too. Because it only gets better.
Get your family to listen.
That's right. Tell them we'll only let Alan do the F-bomb once in a while. That's all.
Yeah, I've been pretty good the last few shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dan made up for you a couple shows back anyway. But
show 50. 1 year
anniversary tech show episode.
Ta-da. What was Linux? Oh, the Linux show send up. What was that one? The Linux show send up.
Oh, when we were busting on them.
Yeah.
Talking about the weather and. Dan knows the weather over there.
Okay. I didn't listen to that when I was listening to all the archives.
That was really recent, though. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff in there. You know, if anybody ever, like, wants to go through the archives and find all the good tidbits and pieces and, you know, give us an email with what time it happened in there, we could make a nice little...
Burning Seal.
Yeah. A nice little compilation thing going on there or something.
You know what I've never actually finished working on?
What?
Was that Hot Link CPU monitor. I still have it. I just haven't finished working on it yet. Hot Link.
I did a version of it myself, only it's not Hot Link, though. But
It's Hot Alan.
There you go.
It's Hot
Dan. He likes to look at himself.
Dan.
Alan made him do. Alan made himself. You took that picture I made of you.
No. One time. No. It's an anime picture, so.
Yeah, you perv.
You know it.
Takes one to know one. Right. On that note, hey, everybody, thanks for listening to episode 50.
We'll be back next week.
That's right, next we will.
With more fun and excitement with licenses.
With 51, even. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hoogie guy.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.